Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
As we continue in our scripture readings today, we go to now the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, verses 8 to 11. We are reading from the New Living Translation verses. And in this way, in the same way that we just looked at from 2 Kings, our gospel reading today, Jesus has reminded his followers of the costliness and the urgency of following him, and now he sends 70 of them to proclaim the good news of God's reign with nothing but the clothes on their backs. And in these verses, he talks about what happens when they go into the towns, into the homes, and they are if they're accepted, they are to stay there and eat, and if they're rejected, he says in these verses what they are to do. So it says, if you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you, heal the sick, and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into the streets and say, we wipe even the dust of your town from our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your fate. And know this, the kingdom of God is near. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. And we pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, it's summertime. It's hot. Boy, has it been hot. It's time to forget about what we do during the academic year and focus on, well, summer. But school's out, and this Old Testament reading from 2 Kings reminded me of school. It did. So think back to the first day when you were in school, the first day that you were in class. We have two students in here. What, the first day of class, you show up, got butterflies in your stomach because you don't really know the teachers yet. You're wondering what you're in for during the year, don't you? You don't know yet. The teacher hands out syllabuses. These are the things that are required of you while you are in school and how to pass the class. And your eyes get huge as you begin to read through the syllabus to find out what you have to do. And you think to yourself, can I actually do what is being required? Can I do this? Can I do what is being demanded of me? You see, demands, we really don't like demands. And you think, well, can I pull this off? I would suggest that most people have similar responses when it comes to what God reminds or demands in our lives. There's something huge at stake, heaven, eternal life, connection to God, as we just talked about. Can I really bite the bullet and sacrifice as much as God demands? The commandments and all those church requirements and rules of morality, can I do all that? Can I do my part for justice in the world? The Old Testament reading today suggests a different perspective on God's demands than what we read in the New Testament. Naaman is the commander, you see, of the army of Aram. Militarily, he is unstoppable. No one can beat him. One of the most powerful and feared men in the entire world. But he had leprosy. A horrible, wasting disease and highly contagious. This story is nothing short of a wow for me when I read it. So his wife's slave, captured from Israel, suggests a way that he can go and be cured. Make sure this is off. So how's he going to do that? She said, go to the prophet of Israel. So Naaman takes the message to the king of Aram, who sends it to the king of Israel, who in a panic kicks it over to the prophet Elisha. And Naaman understands that he is in no bargaining position at this point. He expects the price of his cure to be steep. He comes to the prophet with a caravan of horses and chariots and tons of money, hoping that he's got enough to satisfy what will be demanded of him for the cure. Elisha, however, surprises him. Well, if you want to be cured, go jump in the Jordan River 7 times. Say what? If you know anything about the Jordan River, it's a muddy mess. Naaman gets angry at this point. That's it? Wash in a dirty river? Who does that? And by the way, in case you don't know, I am the mighty Naaman, destroyer of all armies. I don't wash in dirty rivers. I'm not an idiot. There's got to be a trick to this. Sometimes we make a big deal about a simple way to heal ourselves and just get well. So you have extreme exhaustion, you work too much, your kids drive you crazy, you go to the doctor and this is what she says, get some sleep, try a massage with some essential oils, try to relax, stop drinking wine every night and cut the sugar and the carbs, increase your veggies and eat organic food, get someone to watch the kids for a few hours. Get out of your electronics by 7 p.m. and go to bed early. When we are handed this kind of list instead of some pill to take, we kind of get upset. That's just too much to do. It can't be that simple anyways. So Naaman's servants point out the obvious to him. Sir, you came prepared to pay an enormous price for your health. This is free. Just get in the river and do it. Are you going to turn down an opportunity to be well for free? Seriously? So Naaman calms down and he sees they're right and he recognizes that the only thing standing between him and a new life is his pride, his ego. Pride comes before the fall, they say. So I guess maybe he humbled himself down and he ditched the pride and he washes in the Jordan and he is cured. Because he does, a whole new life is in front of him now. Pride, I want to speak to that for a minute. Webster's dictionary describes it as the quality or state of being proud, such as an inordinate self-esteem, conceit, or a reasonable or justifiable self-respect. To some extent, pride is okay, but when it gets to the point where it interferes with our wholeness, our wellness, our ability to go to the next step, I think that's ego out of control. And pride can do that to us. And it keeps the gift of life away from us. True awakening requires that we ditch the pride that is manifested in the ego so that we can come clean, if you will. And this story makes an important claim about God. What does the Lord require of you? Well, just one thing, faith. Faith opens us to awakening to God's intention in our lives. Jesus tells the disciples that they can heal and they can do miracles. The Holy Spirit was in them. All they needed to do was activate their faith and that they can do and will do what he did and probably even more than he did. What a wonderful gift, this Holy Spirit. I think Jesus believed in sharing is caring. Naaman received a new life because a servant girl believed God could give it to him, and she shared that belief with with this mighty king, this mighty servant of the Lord, of the kingdom. Sorry. All Naaman had to do to complete the deal was to have a little bit of faith, and he would be clean. Naaman didn't have to pay for anything, perform any heroic deeds or sacrifices. All he had to do was wash in the river, which was really nothing more than just an act of faith. So many people insist that God has strict demands. And there's a long list of rules and requirements that we have to follow if we want to be a Christian. Demands demands such as you must satisfy God before you even can be worthy. But God says, have faith, be clean. So what is it that needs to be cleaned up in your life, in my life? Do we stress too much? Do we have so much fear that we can't function? Do we drink too much? Do we eat too much? Do we sit on our iPhone too much? Worry and anxiety, does it creep into our lives? Probably maybe from watching too much news, most of which is lies. Suffer from illness caused by toxic buildup of negative emotion in our bodies. Because you see, when we start listening and taking all these things in, it develops this negativity within us. We hang out with negative people. We are also going to have a hard time letting that go unless we let that situation go. Negativity can really destroy our relationship and our closeness with God. Do you sit every day and wonder, what's my purpose? What's the purpose of being here anyway? Why am I here? Who really cares about me? Do you find yourself saying, this too much? I hate my life. Do you find yourself getting angry a lot or crying all the time? Is there a relationship that is toxic and it's time to let it go? You see, that's not how God wants us to live. God does not want us to live in this kind of stew of toxicity. God wants us to have new life. Be baptized in the water of the Holy Spirit and live into this new life. So what's the question I have? What is keeping us from new life that God has freely given us? Because that new life is there for us. Go wash yourselves in the body and blood of Jesus. Baptism. And then forgive yourself and forgive others. Time to start fresh. That's what Holy Communion reminds us of each time we take it. It's just a reminder of who we are in Christ Jesus. And to start fresh again. The world is in crisis. The sick, evil agendas and destroying of humanity and the earth is all around us. We see it a lot, and it can really pull us down and under. But in the midst of this, we are called to live into this new life, be in the midst of an awakening, if you will, so that we may be able to help other people around us. It's a simple solution. A solution is that we get right with God and teach others how to get right with God. Jesus gave his life so that the Spirit of God can now be accessed at any time. But just like Naaman, who didn't want to be washed clean in a muddy river, many do not want to be washed in the blood of Jesus, and spiritually we become bankrupt. There are simple solutions even with the most complicated messes around us that even we make in our own lives. But we try to overcomplicate everything, don't we? Look again at Naaman. He brought all that stuff with him to pay for the healing. But there is no new cost for new life in God. There are no long lists of demands. Nothing we have to do to gain access to the fountain of God's healing, other than have faith. Have faith. Go wash yourselves. Come clean each and every day. Jesus is a fountain of healing, that his gifts are freely given. They're free of charge. That's good news on this 4th of July weekend, that we celebrate our country's independence from tyranny. Those 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence knew that their lives would be at stake, as well as their families, and they were destroyed. Most of them were killed. Things were robbed from them. Their wives and their families were killed and harmed. But they did it for one reason. They knew when they signed it that this was going to happen. But they did this for one reason: freedom. It begins with each person, you see, freeing ourselves of the things that block us from entering into a full relationship with God. And like Naaman, we have a hard time with this. We think that there must be a huge price to pay. Maybe money, or behavior, or attitude, or philosophy, or a lifestyle in exchange for that gift. But again and again in the Bible, it tells us no. God gives and gives freely. Have faith and heal. New life is ours. It's incredible that the connection between the soul, which is your mind and emotion, and the spirit is so intimate. It speaks to the spirit, speaks to our soul, and our mind can speak to the spirit. But first you have to do something. You have to accept who you are as you are. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Because you see, God does. God loves you as you are. And then ask yourself, who am I? The Bible says that we are the children of God. We are the imperfect, messed up, beautiful, amazing children of God who Jesus died for. Once we've got that, then go out and offer this love and compassion to someone who needs it. Treat others at work with fairness and dignity. Smile, even when others are down, and especially then. If compassion, dignity, and fairness doesn't come back to you as you share it with others, as you share the good news with others, if it does not come back to you, well, Jesus gave us a way out of that. He said, shake the dust off your feet and keep on moving. We don't have time, you see, to worry about if they like us or accept us. When you know who you are as a child of God, you can keep moving when others reject you. Our identity is solid in Christ, and we will keep moving toward new life in this world. Keep the faith. It's easy to forget who we are in the chaos of this world, the fear-mongering that goes on. You are not to have a spirit of fear, but as we studied last week, a spirit of love, agape love. In the last 2 years, I've learned that I cannot and will not watch the news, getting caught up in the politics and the rhetoric that they produce. In fact, I don't even subscribe to it on TV. But I'm not clueless. You don't have to have a TV. Just turn your phone on. It's right there. I see the headlines, but I practice now in the last 2 years not to get caught up in that stuff. And here's what I found out. I have more peace. My mind is clearer. I'm actually healthier. Anxiety is lower. And yes, my blood pressure came down. So you are a gifted and loving and talented community of faith here. And God has a great plan for you, for me, for this church, for this community. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. In Micah 6:8, it says, live and work the way God wants you to live. God has shown you, O people, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. That might be a three-point sermon at some point down the road. Just those three amazing, yes, requirements seem so simple and yet so hard to do sometimes. But it's a gift of God to have this new life. So that is the syllabus for the Kingdom of Heaven School. Now and in the days ahead, go in peace and happy Independence Day. Amen.